Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Jonathan Royce. Jonathan is the superintendent at Onsted Community Schools in Onsted, Michigan. Jonathan, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
So tell everybody a little bit about Onsted Schools and your role there.
So Onsted Schools is a small rural community in Michigan. It's in Lenawee County, and our student count is just under 1,200 students. We are kind of a combination of a lake community and, again, that traditional Midwest small town type of feel. So very traditional educational roots with community understanding that the future is here and the future is coming. And so there is a real understanding that while we value our traditions, we also know that we need to make sure our kids are ready to participate in a global society. So just kind of balancing those two lenses is my role as the superintendent. This is my first year, so there has been a lot of learning taking place for me, and so far it's been pretty good.
Congratulations. That's fantastic. And I love the perspective that you have, because I was educated in the 70s. That is not the world that we have today, and it is a fast pace, lots of changes. And so what kinds of things do you see as being that you're managing? What are some of the things that you're managing or see as things that even other schools that need to be considered? Because it just feels like you turn around and there's something new, and then there's something new, and then there's something new. How are you managing it?
I think as an educator, so I've been in the business for a couple of decades. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you came up in the 70s. I came up in the 80s and 90s. And while changes continue to happen, some of those fundamentals remain the same. And that's not always a good thing, because outside of these walls, that change is ever increasing. And so figuring out how to support your staff and give them the tools that they need so that they can impact students' lives is what I consider the role of the superintendent, is removing barriers from staff so that they can get the things that they need, so that they are not stressed out about the things that kind of the superintendent has to deal with. And all they have to worry about is those, 20 to 30 kids in their classroom every day from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. So that's kind of what I consider my role, is to provide the shield of the outside noise so that they can hunker down and get the materials and the information that they need to help the kiddos.
So what kinds of things do you do to support your staff? What kinds of things have you implemented?
So a lot of what I do is soft skill based. So it's a lot of person-to-person interactions, making sure that I'm getting out into the buildings, making sure that I'm empathetic to the things that they're going through, understanding that they're the ones that are closest to the kids, and that in my role, I am two or three steps removed. And so understanding that I need to ask them for their input, and not just ask, but listen, and then consider the implementation of those things that they're asking for in order to support them, provides them a sense of, one, being heard, and two, having some control over their environment. And having control for humans helps us feel grounded and safe. And so trying to create a culture where they are absolutely valued for the hard work that they do, understanding that dealing with children from, 3, 3.5 to 18, depending on where you are in that instructional kind of scope is tremendously difficult. If you're listening and you have your own kids, think of the one or two or three that you have, and then imagine a class full of different personalities that as a teacher, you're struggling to manage. And if you're an elementary principal or teacher, you have those same 20 to 30 kids every day for most of the day, and you're navigating humans' behaviors, and they're bringing those behaviors in from environments that you have no control over. So you don't know what those kids are going through, but your job is to be the light, regardless how your day's being. And so that is exhausting mentally and emotionally. And so the jobs of the admin, for me, the principals, the support staff, and then kind of central office is to support the staff so that they can do what they need to do for the kids. So it's like those things that I mentioned, like, what do you need and how can I get that for you so that you can help the kiddos?
For sure. Yeah. And that's a tough job. It's a tough job. It's interesting you said light because we're Lighthouse Therapy, and we are Lighthouse Therapy because one of the things that I used to always pray when I was seeing kids, I don't get to see kids anymore because I'm in this very similar role to what you're doing, right? And I've been a speech therapist for 31 years, but my prayer was always, Lord, let me be a light in this dark world to the kids that I serve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly it. And we're there for the kids. We're there to serve. And so you are making a pathway for them. And I love that because it's critical.
Yeah.
It's critical what you're doing.
I have a fantastic school board. They are mostly on the same page about most things, which makes it really easy for me to do my job because they're supportive and they're not, this group does not have individual agendas. And they believe in being of service. And so their role as board members is to be of service, and that's how they present. So from the top down, it is about service and about what we can do as a community. The school system is the largest employer in our little town. Everybody within our staff either has a kid or has a relative or lives in the general area. And so it's not just teaching here, it's living here. And so we have a large number of our teachers are also coaches. And so it's not just, 8 to 3, it's 8 to 5 or 8 to 6 or 8 to 7, depending on who that staff member is. So it's a life choice.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not very glamorous and you don't always get credit for it because, everybody has been to school. So everybody thinks they know what it means to be a teacher and they have ideas of what education should look like. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the struggle when it comes to trying to implement change is that parents are nostalgic about what their educational, generally speaking, they're nostalgic about what school was. And so if you try to change things too quickly, you get pushback because that's not what I remember school being. Mm-hmm. So if you're implementing change, you got to make sure that you're communicating it in a way that is still grounded in those values and beliefs that the community members remember, or else as a superintendent, you'll be out of a job.
Right.
So just kind of understanding that my understanding is it's my role to facilitate change in a way that is palatable to the community as a whole by being a good enough communicator that I can speak to, this is what the future looks like it's bringing. Here are the changes that we need to make within the educational system so that we can bridge the present to the future in a way that makes sense for the community and for the kids and for the staff. Like everybody needs to be on board or you're not going to be able to do that. So one of the main jobs as the superintendent is communication and creating that vision and communicating that vision and being empathetic to the pain that change will entail.
And nobody likes change. No. Nobody likes change. It's hard. Change is hard. We always resist it. You know, I was my last call. I was like, I've been coloring my hair for 10 years. I don't like the gray. Right. My husband teased me about the gray 10 years ago. So he told me I was getting racing stripes. Well, now I color my hair. Right. I don't like change. I don't want to get old. You know, I'm getting there. It's inevitable. But, you know, it's like, I don't like change. I don't like that change. Yep. So, but what do we do when changes happens? We have to either embrace it or do something about it. Right.
And there's the piece that you talked about. So you chose to make a change. So it wasn't hard for you to change the coloring your hair because you decided that was a change that you wanted to make. So when you're talking about change, figuring out a way to frame it so that you're not changing the person, that the person is choosing to change so that they can be more effective is terribly difficult to do, but that is the job and is why it's so hard to do because you have so many different people that you're communicating with and you're trying to navigate their communication styles. So you kind of have to be a little bit of a communication chameleon in order to speak to each of your different groups of people and then the individuals within those groups and figuring out what people's strengths are and how to put them in the positions to be successful. It's a continually moving jigsaw puzzle that we're dealing with in education in order to help our students be successful.
Mm-hmm. And yet you're doing it, you know, obviously, and that's fantastic. I mean, you obviously wouldn't be in this role if they didn't think that you could do it. And one of the things too, I think, is adaptability. You know, you know when you've gotten it, right? When you figured it out and it's working, boy, as a leader, you know. But when it doesn't work and you know it's not working, you know that. Exactly.
Yeah.
Whoops, we missed the mark. It's so surprising to me sometimes because we have a staff of about 100 therapists that we work with right now. And I think I've got my messaging right. And then I get it out there. And I always tell, and my daughter, we're a family business. So as my daughter is going to take over in the next 8 to 10 years or whatever, I always am talking to her about our plans. And, you know, I just mentoring, constantly mentoring. But I'm like, if we get more than two questions about what we've put out, we miss the mark. Mm-hmm. The messaging isn't clear and we need to go back and go, okay, what? And that question, they're asking those questions because they don't understand what we thought we were so clear about. Right. So, I mean, and even as a speech therapist of 31 years, I still don't, you know, you still don't get it 100%, but you're constantly working on it and you're constantly adapting and you're constant. And the bottom line to what you do and what I do, and I know you get this, is the children. Everybody wants what's best for their kids, you know, and that's why you get mama bears who get, don't change it. Right.
Yep. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Foundation is kind of the kiddos. One of the things that I get to do because we're a smaller district, we're all on one campus. So I'm able to start my day walking through the buildings. So I see those pre-K kids, which are 3-4 year olds, all the way to our seniors. So I can see the whole range of development in my morning walks. And so just, you know, when you see the seniors and you see kind of their affect because they're almost done here May 8th.
Oh, especially right now in May. Yeah. When is graduation for you guys?
We have it in 2 weeks.
Two or
3 weeks. So we're close. So this will be my first graduation here, but like I can see those seniors, and then I can see, like I said, those fifth graders, and I can imagine that growth. Mm-hmm. And to them, they're grown, but to their parents, they are still their babies. So like Right. You said, like that the family unit and how families are so protective about their kids, and rightfully so, and protective about their education. Like all this is in the mix of an educator. And it's just things that general public doesn't always think about when they think about, you know, sending their kids off or what those educators are thinking about. Like if you have a good staff, they're thinking about that kind of stuff all the time. Like what are the buttons that I can push to motivate your student, regardless mm-hmm. of their age, so that I can get the best out of them so that they can be the best contributors to your family first, really, and then mm-hmm. kind of the larger community.
For sure.
Like our job isn't just to build avenues for students to be in the workplace. It's to help them be strong members in their family. Also, like we're supportive of that family, and then kind of that immediate community, and then that kind of ripples out
and to society as a whole, right? Yeah.
So mm-hmm. what we do here ripples out, and so knowing that, you know, depending on how that student is coming to us, we don't know what trauma they've had in their life. We don't know which kid is coming to us with a alcoholic parent, or which student is coming to us that has been abused in some way. Like we don't know. All we see are their actions.
And we
have to figure out how to support those kids so that they are fit to be learners and adaptable mm-hmm. and be able to change and be resilient and all these other pieces. So it's not just the academics. We need them to be in the right mental space in order for them to even retain information. Like that's just how the human brain works. Like if you're in a fear state or a stress state or an anxiety state, the information that adults are giving you aren't going to stick in your brain.
No.
So creating that safe environment and having the opportunity to feed the kids and make sure that they have their snack and like all these essential kind of Maslow's hierarchy of needs type of things in order to get them to learn is like first steps. How do you create a classroom culture where they feel safe and they feel part of the class? And like teachers are managing all these little social interactions. Mm-hmm. Little bubbles, little clicks, little social interactions, just to get them to the point where that they can teach them to read, they can teach them mathematics, they can teach them the social studies and the science and the PE and the health and all these other things. So that's step one, is making sure that the kids know that you care about them and that they have friends and that, you know, they are not alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so schools are a safe space. That was the sad thing about the pandemic, is that they lost that safe space.
Yeah.
It was tough. It was a tough, tough time. So, and getting that back is really important. Well, I have one last question. I ask this of all of my podcast guests. So if you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school, what would you want to solve?
One challenge in the school.
I know there's many.
Oh, all right. Like, that's such a big question.
Yeah. It's a tough question. That's why I ask it of everybody, because it's going to show us your heart. It really does.
Right. I think figuring out a way to give staff the knowledge or the feeling consistently that they are valued, that they matter, that they are the light bearers, if we think of our kids as light for the future or of the future, because they aren't always appreciated. It's Staff Appreciation Week, so but if they could feel that all the time, the impact that they have every day on kiddos, and just remember that, I think, because we get tired, we get run down, we all got our own stuff, but just a way to continually let them know how much and how well that when they are at their best, that they are literally sending their love into the future, and the kids are bearing that.
Yeah.
And so just that idea I don't even know how to describe it, but they are.
I get it. I get what you're saying. Yeah. You want to empower and equip your teachers 100%. Yeah. And know that they, and I think you are. I think that's the question is always a tough one, because it's just, you know, but it's a great question. And it's a great question to ask, because it just is, it's who we are. I mean, we love our kids. We love you love your staff. You want them to be successful. You want your team to be successful. And you work really hard day in and day out to make sure that happens. And some of it is totally out of your control. There isn't anything you can do, but you just keep doing it. You keep stepping into it, you know, and I get that. So, Jonathan, what a great conversation.
I appreciate it.
We really got to see a little bit of your heart, and I love that. I love that you're working very hard for Onsted. And I would love to say congratulations to your graduates in 2 years, 2025. They are blessed because you're there. So congratulations to them. It's such a cool thing to watch your kids that you've worked so hard all year to get them across that line. So that's fantastic. So congratulations.
Thank you, Jan. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. So one last thing. Where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about you and your school?
If they want to learn about me and my school, they can go to OnstedSchools.us. OnstedSchools.us. Come check us out.
Great. Thank you once again. And thank you for being on the Brighter Together podcast, because we are really brighter together.